I've entitled the sermon this morning, "The Fix Is In." Now, all the guys understand this. And we've all watched sporting events where, something just didn't seem right. I wonder what in the world. So they paid somebody off. They paid the guy to take a dive. They paid the team. We heard about the Black Sox, in the World Series where a bunch of the guys took money to throw the game. Unfortunately, I think it happens more often than we would like or we would think. But sometimes things are fixed. And probably one of the most controversial and popular fixes, and soundboard, make sure you've got the sound turned up on the computer, is Muhammad Ali. Well, I've got just a short clip here.
May 25th, 1965, the world witnessed the most controversial fight in boxing history. However, what exactly happened? Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali were the biggest boxing stars of that time. The fight started. Shockingly, within just 144 seconds, Liston was down on the canvas. The right hook that knocked out Liston was too light. Even Ali wasn't sure if it connected to Liston's face or not because his glove slipped at impact. Ali was seen asking his unit whether or not he had done sufficient damage to Liston. However, it wasn't until after the fight that he realized that Liston was out cold and couldn't get up. He was shocked to find out that he had actually won by knockout. Then Ali stood over his fallen opponent where the most iconic picture was captured, where he said, "Get up and fight, sucker." Liston blamed the referee as he did not keep track of time as a result. Liston didn't know when to get up hence. He lost. Most people called it a rigged fight, but it remained a mystery about which entire books and movies have been written.
All right. Anybody who's ever lost a Super Bowl, or had a team lose a Super Bowl on one play, or you've seen a fighter all of a sudden lose the fight or go down too quick. Oh, was the fix in? Well, we're going to take a look at one of the fights that got fixed in the Bible. So, we've been talking about Jacob and Esau. We've actually been going through Isaac, and we realized that there was really only one chapter where Isaac was front and center on it. And most of the time, Isaac is kind of overshadowed by his family. And this is going to be one of those times. So, look, round one. Rachel was pregnant. Oh, and it was a hard pregnancy. It was so bad that she actually went and inquired of the Lord what was happening. So she goes to God, and guess what? She receives a word from the Lord. It says, "Two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So what we saw happening here, well, a couple months later, we have two babies born. And so the first one came out red, and all his body like a hairy cloak. And so they called his name Esau, which means hairy. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding on Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. So Jacob means one who grabs the heel, and that may also mean one who cheats or one who supplants. There's all types of different ways. But know that it isn't a complimentary term. "Hi, what's your name?" "I'm Mr. Cheater." Got to be careful. Sometimes kids will live up to some of the tags you put on them, right? But anyway, so what happens? Well, Esau won the first round. He became the eldest because he came out first, and he also inherited the birthright. Wow. So it says the boys grew up and Esau became a skilled hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. All right, so this becomes a source of problem. We got a daddy's boy, and we have a mommy's boy, because mom and dad have favorites. Not really a good recipe for raising kids. Think about that. Oh, yeah, I like the first one. Second one, you're okay. I just want you to know, your dad loves you. So the idea, they are setting up. I mean, God has already told them, "Hey, they're struggling in your womb because there is going to be international consequences later on." So round two. Jacob was making chili. Big bowl of beans. Because, you know, he watched the Food Network. He wanted to be on beat Bobby Flay. So he's in there, he's throwing some spice in there, and he's making it up in this big bowl of the beans, and oh, it's looking good. And well, Esau, the great hunter, has gone out, and well, he's come up empty. He's searched and searched and shot and missed, and all these things have happened. And so he comes in, and well, his stomach is growling. Oh, he's hungry. And the literal translation is, give me that red stuff. How would that be, Mom? She's like, your son come in, give me that red stuff, Mom. What he says to his brother there, oh, I'm dying. And of course, Jacob's going to live down to his name of one who grabs the heel, one who trips up. He says, all right, sure, love to give it to you. This is good stuff. Oh, good stuff, yeah. He says, sell me your birthright. Hey, this is really good stuff. It's got the Anso chili in it. It's got enough pepper. It's been seasoned. This is good stuff. Of course, you know, any of us guys who come in after working outside, you're starving, and you smell something cooking, oh, your stomach talks for you, doesn't it? Well, that's what happened. What good is a birthright, Esau would say, if I'm going to die? And as every mom in here knows, you have never seen any of your children die when they come in begging for food. Probably wouldn't happen now, but what ends up happening is it's like, yeah, I'll take that, and you know, it's, okay, give me your birthright. So round two goes to the younger by a couple minutes. It says, Esau despised his birthright. So we see there, it's like, what good is that? And, you know, sometimes we wonder what a birthright actually means. Well, in that culture, the birthright would have been leadership of a family. It would have been that he got the lion's share of the inheritance. And most importantly, he would have become, whoever had the birthright, has the spiritual authority over the family. And it's not just one of the things that, you know, birthright is like a certificate or something, but it has substance to it. And it says that Esau, well, he despised his birthright. Which brings us to round three. Oh, my goodness. Time has passed. All the good things in the family have had a chance to settle down, and all the badness has had a chance to coagulate in there. So what do we see here? We see a very dysfunctional family. They don't trust each other. Mom doesn't trust dad. Dad doesn't trust mom. The boys don't trust each other. They're always fighting. And you know what? She's got her favorite. He's got his favorite. The boys, you know, the boys love this one better than that one. And they're in competition. This family shows favoritism. And you know, when we take a look at that, we were on James just not long ago. And you know, when we take a look at that, the one who shows partiality, but if you show partiality, you are committing a sin and are convicted of the law as law transgressors. So when you show favoritism, it's a sin. And so we see the parents are sinning against the children. And so the children are basically, they will suck up everything good and bad that you do, right? And we see that this family is going to become some pretty bad deceivers. Well, let's take a further look at this. The old man's secret. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son?" And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Because I'm old, I do not know the day of my death. Now then, come, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out in the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Wow. Isaac has figured out a way around the birthright deal. Now remember, they've already received a word from the Lord. It says, you know, the older is going to serve the younger. And because Esau is Isaac's favorite. He has plotted a way to get around the word of the Lord, what God has spoken, and make sure his son comes out on top. Well, Mama's listening outside the tent. Imagine that. Isaac hasn't told his wife, hey, here's what I'm going to do, honey. You know, I really think that I know better. I'm the leader of the family. You know, here's the dog. He did what he do. He calls his boy in. He wants to make sure that this is done in secret. And, well, Rebecca has got her ear to the tent, listening in on what's going on. Oh. So when Esau goes out to the field to go hunt, she reacts really quick. She calls in her scheme. And Rebecca told her, she called to her son Jacob, I have heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare it for me, delicious food, so that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. So it's like, all right. Man, you're supposed to be number one. God spoke it. Hey, you got the birthright now, but you know what? You got to be careful because, you know, your father is trying to trump this. You know, she forgot God's word. Because a word from the Lord will not be thwarted by a human. God has a plan, has a perfect plan for all of us, and it's not incumbent upon us to help God along. God wants our obedience, but He doesn't want us to use sin to further His goals. She says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flocks and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare them as delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." Plan deception. Don't do that. Man, that is sinful. Whatever we take and we scheme about things, that, you know, sometimes we think, well, this is just a little bit here. Let me, it's just going to kind of bend the law a little bit, bend God's word just a little bit. Let me just make it so that I get get the result that I desire. Once again, don't bend God's word. Don't do something that is sinful so that you'll advance. Even if you think that, hey, it's a good thing, God has said this, so I'm just kind of nudging things on in the right direction. Here's a picture for our kids who are in here. Kind of a children's churchy one there. But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man." That's part of my life verse there. Oh, come on. I thought that one up. Okay. "And I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will fill me, and he shall seem to him, it shall seem to be to him that I'm mocking him. And I'll bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mom said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and bring the goats to me." Wow. I may seem as a deceiver. All right, he's going to go in on his blind daddy and tell him he's his eldest son. I don't think that's seeming to be a deceiver. I think that is deception. All right. Now, the thing about it is, well, let's just read what James has to tell us here. "But if you have bitter jealousy," oh, that's what these boys had for each other, wasn't it? "And selfish ambition in your heart," that sounds like both of them, doesn't it? "Do not boast and be false to the truth. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Seem. It's not a seem, it is an is. He is being deceptive. He is ambitious. And he is going about it in the wrong way. Mama says, "I'll take your curse." I don't know how she's going to do that or how she would do that. But the whole idea is, hey, you do what I say, and I will do the rest. So what they're getting all the props together. What do they do? Well, he brings her the kids. And she roasts them up on the fire there. She puts all the good barbecue sauce on it and rubs it down and heats it and does all the stuff like she's supposed to. And then she goes and she gets her eldest son's clothes. So he went out and there's another pair in his tent. So she goes into his tent, takes his clothes. And then she gets some skins that have probably been curing for a while. And what she does is she kind of fashions gloves out of them that fit up on there. And so she gets all the props together to pull off this deception. Puts a little bit on the back of his neck there. So going in to see a poor old blind man. This sounds like deception. This sounds like lying. And you know, remember, as we studied Abraham, it says that God taught Abraham his law. And he says, and we even see Isaac was blessed because Abraham taught his children. Kind of sounds like the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. It sounds like all those things are going on in this encounter, doesn't it? And for those of you who like a little more New Testament on that, I want you to try this. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deception. So we see here, deception is afoot. It's wrong no matter what part of the Bible we look at it. But you know what? Even if we fail, God can come out on top. Because our failure does not limit God. So what happens? Well, Heskey a little bass in his voice there. Can you see him walking in there? So he went into his father and said, My father. And he says, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" It's a little odd, isn't it? Jacob answers his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that you may bless that your soul may bless me." You ever tried to imitate your siblings? Most of us aren't very good at that. One of these days, I will tell you about the time I got away with imitating my father when I was a teenager over the phone, but that's for another day. Oh, but there's some doubts in here. What is true and what is false? But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." There's something in there that's a little bothering to me. The Lord your God? Think about that. I believe he's saying that way because he is the God. Yahweh is not the God of Jacob yet. You know, we sing, "Oh God of Jacob," this morning. Well, right now, Jacob, as we look in the Bible, he's not claiming to be a child of God about following Yahweh. He says, "Dad, your God, not my God." My friends, there comes a time that your children have to choose to make God their God. We know that they cannot live off of our relationship with God. They have to develop their own relationship with the Lord. They have to choose life. What can you do? Well, you can be the best example of a Christian that you can possibly be. You can live your life according to the Scriptures. You can allow the Holy Spirit to lead you so that when it comes time for your children to make a commitment, God can become their God because they've seen you be a godly person, and it comes time for them to become a child of God. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. So this poor blind man, he has some doubts. Then Isaac says to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son, Esau, or not." So Jacob went to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's hands. So he blessed him. Dad knew something was up. Doesn't quite sound like my son. The deception is now complete. Are you really my son? And he answers, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate and he bought him wine and he drank and he came near and he kissed him. And Isaac smelled the garments and blessed him. Man, what, he felt his arms. He puts his hand on the back of his neck where the little bit of lambskin was back there. Pulls him in. Oh, smells like my son because he's wearing his older brother's clothes. He has deceived his father entirely. The deception is complete, and then comes the blessing. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and over your mother's sons. May they bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Oh, this is kind of like the last will and testament. God said the older will serve the younger. He doesn't like that. He said, I've got a way around that. So look at this blessing. He blesses him with prosperity. May the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And may there be plenty of grain and wine. Oh, may you have everything, my boy. And notice, he's given him rulership. And that's what the birthright was supposed to be, was the rulership of the family. In this case, the rulership, it's the people are the inhabitants of the land. All these Philistines and Canaanites, anybody over here, you're gonna rule over them. Says you're going to be a man of influence. Nations and kings are going to bow down to you in honor. And then he does something which directly contradicts what God has said and what the birthright stands for. You're going to lord over your brothers. In that context, it's his tribe. And then he says, your mother's sons. Well, his mother's only got one son, doesn't he? He's given him authority. He's blessing him with authority over his brother. He has sought to reverse the word of God by giving a blessing to his eldest son. And then he blesses him with the Abrahamic blessing. Curse be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. My friends, I do believe that we need to bless. But you know what? We need to obey what God's word says. They received a word from the Lord, and both mom and dad were trying to fix the fight. We're trying to fix it so that it would come out the way they wanted, even though one was the will of the Lord. And as I said, sin is never part of God's perfect plan for your life. I don't care what agenda it pushes forward, even if you think it's godly. Sin is not part of God's plan for your life. Well, they finished that up, and just in the nick of time, it says, as soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, then Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father. Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat the son's game that I may bless you. Boy, they passed almost right outside the tent. Is that my coat he's got on? And we have the big shock. And his father says, who are you? And he answered, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very violently. And he says, who is that who hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came. And I have blessed him. Yes, I have blessed him. I have blessed him exceedingly. As soon as Esau heard the voice of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, my father. He's understanding what's happened. The fight's been fixed. And the fix is discovered. As soon as Esau heard the voice of his father, he cried out, and exceedingly and bitterly, "Oh, bless me, even so me, my father." And he said, "Your brother Jacob came in deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob, Mr. Cheat? For he has cheated me these two times and taken away my birthright. And behold, now he's taken away my blessing." It begins to sink in on him now. He has a sorrowful revelation. "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Don't you have a second-class blessing for me, Father?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants and grain and wine. I have sustained him. That, what then can I do for you, my son?" "Oh, Father, do you have but one blessing? Don't you have a blessing for me? What about the blessing that you had for my sibling there? Can I have this lesser blessing?" And so, well, I don't know if this is as much of a blessing as a proclamation. He says, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth your dwelling shall be." You're going to be away from the good land, from where things grow, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you will live. And to be a man of violence, you're going to have to take what you want. And notice, "And you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Wow. He's just been received a sentence that says, "You know what? You're not only blessed, but you are going to have to serve your brother." Oh, here's a reaction. And I don't think any of us would be surprised by this. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." None of us would be shocked by that, would we? So what happens? It says, "But the words of her older son were told to Rebekah. So she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you.'" He's going to have to leave home. And you know what? That's a story for next week to continue. But what's our takeaway from this? Well, number one, favoritism is a sin. You can create bitterness within your children, within groups, by acting wrongly on favoritism. Sometimes we can't help but like somebody better than others. But if we let that be the reason why we choose one, then it's wrong. Number two, sin is never part of God's perfect will. It's just plain and simple. God will not have you sin to advance his kingdom. God will not have you do missionary dating to save a young boy or girl's life. God will not have you lie so that you can cover up something that you've done. Sin is never part of God's perfect will for your life. Now, you know what? God redeems situations and people. I don't care what it is you have done. God can redeem your situation. And guess what? He redeems you. There are always consequences to our actions. But you know what? God comes down. He saves your soul. And he can redeem the situation. And he'll be with you when you walk through a valley that you chose to go down. And finally, God uses flawed people. Aren't you glad about that? Oh, none of us could be perfect, could we? We see Jacob. Jacob is going to be, as we say, oh God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to become from the Lord your God helped me. To then get to the point to where the Lord is my God. God will use flawed people because that's all he's got to use. You're flawed, I'm flawed, but God wants to use you to further his kingdom through his will. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. Lord, we ask that you would bless us now today. Lord, and as we have our baptismal service, Lord, may you receive all glory, and honor. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brianda. And our pastor. Come on up. Is this your first baptism that you've done? Excellent. Now, I didn't get ready to go. Let them back up. Just know that, okay? Last time I said Miss Alyssa, kind of went back to children's church, but she has her certification from the Assemblies of God, so she is a certified minister. And Brianda said that she wanted to be baptized by the person who had led her in the youth ministry. And so we are honored today. Thank you.